from the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheese Head TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we are joined, probably, by Jamie Snowden, Zach Cruz, and C. D'Angeli, along with the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. Corey, go ahead. Do it. Tell us what is on tap tonight.
Well, we got to start it out with the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Jonathan Franklin.
Forget the fumble. Everything about this kid was awesome.
Jordy Nelson.
The master of the sideline.
Sam Shields.
Playing fantastic man coverage, save for one snap.
And we got the bad. We got Mike McCarthy.
Not a great game plan. Team didn't come off the bus really well and didn't make a whole lot of adjustments.
Aaron Rodgers.
Played a crap game.
James Jones.
Gotta drive through the slant route, James.
And we got the ugly. We got McCarthy's call on fourth and inches.
You know, I think a hindsight revisionist history type person might have put Jeremy Ross in there in the ugly. But, you know. To me, it's all about.
I think that's a little.
I think that was an ugly play, but that call on fourth and inches, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. But oh my goodness, Corey, how the hell are you?
I'm good.
How was jolly old England?
It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was amazing. I can't believe this show just happened right then.
I was just going to say, people, you have no idea. It was a classic transplant moment.
Can they hear us online? Awesome, they can't.
Transplants moment, right? Literally, right before we are about to speak on the air.
Ooh, had to do a little camera change.
Corey is diving from the camera back to his spot to do whatever magic he does.
Good times.
It's just amazing.
This is incredible. I love it. I got my live stream studio, HD 500.
The fact that we do this.
Just you and me, that's
two
it.
Two of us.
Yep.
Is this a computer and a whole lot of love.
Yep.
That's it. That's what we do, man.
You know, I got to say, give props to my senior producer, Thomas Wallace, because he set this lovely arrangement up.
I'm sure he's watching, and I'm sure he appreciates it. So I think more than anything else, more than the bye week, more than the loss to the Bengals, more than Jeremy Ross being cut, there is only one thing that we need to talk about right now.
What's that?
Favre Watch!
I think you just blew out everybody's
Favre Watch! Favre Watch! Corey Banky!
Ow.
Favre Watch!
I was trying to get the tag.
It is on, people.
I don't really understand this.
Bus cook asked at a dinner luncheon or something yesterday. Asked about Brett Favre. Bus cook said he could play today. Today, Corey Banky.
People are saying they're going to leave.
You go ahead. See you later. Bus Cook says his arm looks like a blacksmith's arm. Let me tell you, I don't know what that means, but I do know it means one thing. It means he could forge another Lombardi trophy with his arms,
That's
Corey.
That's just ridiculous talk.
Favre Watch!
I can't even be a part of that.
Dude, you know the Vikings should totally call Favre.
Wait, I have a question. Yeah. Do we have this on the new little chapter markers here?
Probably not.
Are the Vikings done? Is it over?
Nope. Pretty close, though. They're 0-3.
Speaking of Favre Watch, speaking of Jennings Watch.
Okay, there's two teams that should call Brett Favre, all right? And it should be a race, all right? It should be the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. The Vikings to be their starter, the Packers to be their backup. Could you imagine...
No.
If Brett Favre came back to back up Aaron Rodgers.
No, I can't.
How awesome that would be. How insanely excellent the world.
It would be hilarious.
The world would first fold in on itself. This time-space continuum would absolutely be destroyed. And Brett Favre would be Aaron Rodgers' backup. It would be the ultimate moment of healing. I'm just saying, dude.
And then, one of those games, they'd put his name up there. retire that old number
I know,
four.
Right? They could retire his number at halftime of the game he was active for.
I don't know how this happened, but like he showed up at my house like 2 hours ago just like this, so I don't know.
Favre watch!
I really don't understand.
Dude, I'm so excited. Dude, think about it.
I don't.
Think about what Buzz Cook said. He said, he could play today a lot better than a lot of the guys doing today. Like, no doubt, right? Like, Brett Favre could go out there today and play better than, like, probably 10 starting quarterbacks.
I don't know about that.
Today.
I don't know about that.
That's all I'm saying. All right, Favre watches
that. All right, so let's change that. See, now this is nice. I get to just change what we talk about.
You don't even know what's going on.
That's sweet right there.
All right, as it says there on the screen, we're not worried about 1-2, ladies and gentlemen.
No,
I told you prior to week one that they could very easily, and would, I called it, lose to the 49ers. I said it could possibly be 0-3 heading into week three. So the fact that they're 1-2, not worried at all.
Yeah.
Not worried whatsoever.
There's not really a lot to be worried about.
Still a Super Bowl contender, ladies and gentlemen. No doubt in my mind.
You could be the Vikings right now.
You could be the Vikings.
Could be the Vikings.
Hope
That's
Greg
the
Jennings
story
is
of today.
Enjoying it. Hope Greg's liking
Good
it.
Good times, Greg. Have some fun there, buddy. So we're moving on from that?
Oh, sure. Why not?
This is sweet.
Dude, you just want to move on from stuff. We're going to have like a 20-minute show because you're going to keep moving on with your new little toy. And then the show's going to be over because we're not
like,
going to talk about
topic.
Anything. You're just going to do topic buttons.
Let's move forward,
and
please.
It'll be done. That'll be the show. Can I circle back real
quick?
Yeah,
let's go back to
almost,
1-2.
No. I just want to talk about so Favre Watch. One last second because we almost had a litany of people calling in. We almost had Jonathan Franklin calling.
Nobody wanted to talk about
And then that didn't happen. And then we almost had Ryan Grant call in, and then that didn't happen. And then we almost had Rich Eisen call in, and then that didn't happen. So
this was almost
the most awesome show ever. But instead, it's this one.
I'm sorry for the listeners and the viewers.
It's bad.
Good times. So all right. We're done with that, right?
Bye week.
Sweet.
Assessment.
Reassessment. What's
Reassessment
happening?
Reassessment of everything.
Running backs.
That's what the Packers are doing. That's what we're doing. That's what, that's what this time is for, a reflection. You know, Mike McCarthy was asked if this was a time to self-scout, and Mike said, they always self-scout, and that's what they do. But, just to reassess. Possibly this is a team that actually may have a running game.
That's really exciting. Like, screens, protection, like that can set up a whole lot
and
of stuff
Jonathan
for us.
Franklin showed a little something in pass pro.
Yeah.
He stepped in, like, his first one.
That
was
my
was
favorite
so
tweet
great.
Of the game was when he walked onto the field and you tweeted, you were like, the Jonathan Franklin era has begun.
Well, and it did. He got off.
It did. He got a great
got
start.
Got off to a hell of a start. Hell of a start.
Speaking of, we have a trivia question.
We do.
We should just get that out of the way.
All right.
You can win one of these right here, and you know you want one, dude.
Dude, wow.
This has Juwan Harris. He has podcasts he does every week.
Juwan Harris has a podcast?
Yes.
My boy has a podcast?
Yes, and he does it every week, and you can get it. This is like a Near Field something communications. It's not on iPhone. I checked it out. He's got a really cool thing on Vimeo. Anyway, you can win this. Aaron's got the question.
I got the question. And if you follow...
As soon as
follow a certain Cheesehead TV member, you may already know the
and
answer.
And you just send your answer to contact@cheeseheadtv.com.
They have to email it?
The first person I get the email with the correct answer.
So it's
got
to be an email, not a tweet.
Email, no tweets.
No tweets,
Come on,
people.
We're going old school with this.
Old school
I got it right
email.
There.
Email. It's up. Oh, look at you. Send answer. There it is.
There you go. Here's
send
the
your
question.
Answer to
let's
contact@cheeseheadtv.com. First person in the inbox. Jonathan Franklin was the first Packers rookie to rush for 100 yards on 13 carries or fewer since... Which Green Bay Packer? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's your trivia question this week here at Packer Transplants. Send your answers to contact@cheeseheadtv.com.
I like
and
it.
And good luck.
I like it when you get your announcer voice. That reminds me of the Button Song.
Oh, wow. Holy
sometimes,
old school.
Yeah.
Holy
I think
old
about
school.
The Button Song
the
sometimes.
Button
it's kind of sad.
For those of you who...
It's kind of like old hipster sad.
Who weren't with us back in the day. Corey and I actually used to like design little... ad spaces into the podcast, and we had grand plans of selling ad space to like Coca-Cola someday. That never really happened, but in the meantime, we were going to do our own ads for our website, so we would do like, come check out Packer World and things like that.
Yeah.
And then as a promo item, we created Cheesehead TV buttons. Like Corey bought a button maker.
Yeah, I was all about it.
And his whole house was like covered in
buttons, man.
Cheesehead TV buttons. But we made a jingle for to advertise that was a good one. The buttons. It was awesome.
Nobody's going to go back and listen to that, but if it they was, ever do, they'll was, be surprised.
It was. I got to go.
It'll blow their mind.
I'm going to go find it tonight. It'll blow when their I mind. Get home. When I get home.
So are we finished with the bi-week assessment?
Yes,
Let's
sir.
Go back to
yes,
the reassessment.
Sir. Go right at no. Go
Wait,
right ahead.
But talk,
do your
okay,
thing.
But what is the reassessment? Is it what is it for the offense?
Okay, on the offensive side of the ball, it's yes, they have a little bit of a running game, and just like 2011, they have to if they get pressed and they get some man coverage that is going to give them trouble. Aaron Rodgers has got to be smart with the football. You saw. Yes, James Jones didn't run the slant route through, and that was the reason for the first pick. But that second pick was absolutely terrible. And Rodgers had a horrible game. He admitted it himself. But he had a horrible game because his receivers were seeing press man on nearly every – on not every snap, but a bunch of snaps, a majority of the snaps. And they weren't able to get in sync ever. So that's the – you know, the Rodgers, the key to that, Rodgers has to be patient. Why are you looking at me like that?
I just think it's funny that Jamie wants to leave a voicemail for She's Head TV, and people want to fax their answer to contact. They want to fax their
dude, I love
their
it.
Emails down.
We used to. Do we still have a voicemail? I don't think we do.
No, because I got sick of like calling people back. is that bad? Should I have said that on the air?
That's awesome. I got sick of calling.
Like
people
would
back.
Call me, and then I would feel like I need to call them back. And like a lot of people would call.
Why would you feel the need to call people?
Oh
back?
Yeah,
it's just there for
man.
It was just there for people to vent. Man, remember old school?
You know
school?
The diehards are on when you're 1 and 2. Okay,
yeah. All right, you people,
1 and 2. Okay,
all right. You are all diehards.
Good.
All of you out there,
it's really all good.
Watching now, listening later, you're all diehards.
Yeah, everybody watching now, I'm sorry. That's all I want to say.
that
besides the
wait,
so
reassessing on the defensive side
yes,
of the ball.
Yes, defense.
We got Clay Matthews' hamstring injury out of the way early this year. The annual
hamstring. I've got that in
well,
here.
That's later. Don't go. Don't jump ahead. Lord.
All right.
Read your script. Oh, wait. I've got it here. On the computer. So the defensive side of the ball, you know, they need their guys back.
Yeah.
That's the reassessment.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it's a good thing that Morgan Burnett has not been seen on the field. Hopefully that means he's back at full strength when they get back against Detroit in 2 weeks. Morgan Burnett, who, by the way, I learned tonight, has blocked me on Twitter. So,
who hasn't blocked you on Twitter?
Rock and roll, man.
I think I even blocked you one time on Twitter.
Probably smart. I probably said something about your mama.
Nah, you would never do that.
No, but like, you know, blocking me on Twitter for telling like the truth. I mean, come on now, people.
I hear you.
That's just not right.
So let's talk about the Jeremy Ross.
News. It's news time, isn't it?
He cleared waivers.
Jeremy Ross cleared waivers after being cut by the Green Bay Packers. Now, let me ask you this, Corey.
Okay, I got a question for you, too, though.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, here's what I don't understand.
All right.
And I think a lot of...
I think maybe we had the same question.
It's probably the same question.
Right.
Okay,
right.
If you're going to cut the guy,
right.
Why put him back in the game right away after he has that big thing? Everybody's like, oh my gosh, he's cut, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows he's cut.
Right.
But then they play him after. Like, what is that all about? Why wouldn't you, like, play new players? Like, what? It's over. Like, it's done. Right?
Corey, that is an excellent question. And I do not have the answer for it. I thought the same as you. I thought after that play, you know, it gave him the ball on the freaking 1 yard line, and it's an automatic touchdown for the Bengals, and it's 14-0. I thought that's the last we'll ever see of Jeremy Ross, and then they sent him back out there,
yeah.
And I thought, okay, so they're not going to cut him, and then they cut him. I don't know, man. I don't know. Why don't you send even Jonathan Franklin back there on kickoffs? And I know Franklin hasn't looked great.
Well, what
on
do
returns.
You think about Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb, do it, dude. Do it. I would totally send Randall Cobb back out there. Hell, DeSean Jackson returns punts. Do it. All this playing scared nonsense.
I hear you. I don't know about that.
No,
if,
but
if
let's
Randall
send,
Cobb went down,
wait,
I would cry.
But wait. Oh, here comes Jeremy Ross to get up again. Great. Like, and here's the thing. Wilde pointed this out to me on Twitter today, and he's absolutely right, that you know, Ross had a couple really impressive games as a returner in 2012. The Tennessee game, he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings game, he looked pretty good. Didn't look great in the Vikings playoff game. And then he had just the horrific fumble in the 49ers playoff game. And after that fumble, obviously Cobb came in. We didn't see him for the rest of that game. And then they come into the camp. They come into camp this year. And the guy looks less than stellar on returns. Let's just put it that way. never really lit it up in preseason. Had a few okay returns, but still had a bunch of bumble fuck stuff happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just not anything you would write home about. And because they're scared to play Cobb as a returner, they gave him the job. And, you know, they had Joe McKnight in for a workout. I heard that workout was awful. So, obviously, they were like, okay, we're rolling with Jeremy Ross. And now they've cut Jeremy Ross. And Mike McCarthy obviously wouldn't go into what their plan is at returner. Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, isn't it Randall Cobb?
It probably is Randall Cobb, although they won't say that. Or maybe they're going to sign somebody off the street, but they're going to wait because they don't want to do it this week because then they got to pay the guy.
Yeah.
So they'll do it next week and they don't have to pay him this week's salary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe they're looking at someone. Who knows? But, what you know.
Right now, it's
when
Randall
you have
Cobb.
To correct your mistakes during the year like that, that's never good.
Mm-hmm.
You're just wasting time, and they've just wasted time. And they lost a game because of it. I mean, you can say everything you want about fourth and inches, and we will. And you can say everything you want about Aaron Rodgers turning the ball over. You can say everything about you want about the defense not, you know, making a stand in the beginning of the game and blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the matter remains that if Jeremy Ross doesn't fumble that and screw up that freaking kickoff, they win the game.
It's true.
It's a totally different game.
It's true.
It's a totally different game. It's not 14-0. It's 7-0, and the Packers have the ball. Instead, it's 14-0, and the Packers have the ball.
Yeah.
And everything that plays out later is different
you can't
because
do
of the
that.
Score.
You can't do that when there's 16 games on the line.
All right, obviously that's an overreaction. Yes, they probably
no, it's not
could,
though.
No,
not,
but they could
not
have
when
won,
you slice
they
it up.
They still
could right?
have won the game.
Not that's when you
the,
slice it
they
up.
They could have won the game. They didn't lose the game because of it.
They still could have won the game for
but
sure.
But it was a major factor, and it's just ridiculous that we see things like this, and it just drives me nuts. And I know it drives other people nuts, and I try not to get emotional about it, but I'm me, and I'm a Packer fan.
Oh, Jersey Al, Seattle picked up Walker. Oh,
yeah, no, they did, Al, but then they released him just a little while ago. I know. I had several questions about this on Twitter because, you know, the Tyron Walker was the guy they let go, who I really liked in preseason. I think Jersey Al did as well. I think a lot of people did. And they kept Jeremy Ross instead because of his return ability. And then, you know, Jeremy Ross goes on to get cut. And Walker was picked up by Seattle. But now Walker's back out on the street, so maybe they bring him in. I'll tell you who they should bring in is Derek Rogers. Not as a returner, just as a wide receiver, because he was let go by the Colts. And I love Derek Rogers. But that's getting down in the weeds there. I'm telling you. Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry.
All right, moving on.
Sorry.
Hamstring injuries. Killing the Packers.
Okay, so hamstring injuries. All right, can we talk about this for a second?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Lori Nichol with a fine piece of work in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning. Fantastic overview of the situation with all the hamstring injuries. Obviously, Troy Aikman, Super Bowl winning quarterback, mentioned it on the broadcast about having never seen anything like this and blah, 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 blah. Look, people, look, all you wannabe yoga instructors, the hamstrings. These guys stretch, they do everything they can to prevent the hamstring injuries.
Mm-hmm.
As McCarthy joked, maybe it's the Wisconsin diet. You can try every variable. You can do Bob McGinn's thing. Maybe they need to tackle more in practice. I don't know. But you're never going to pinpoint it. McCarthy and his staff, Ted Thompson and his staff, they have spent so much time in the offseason looking at this stuff. And I love all these
hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Fitness
and
gurus
R&D
on Twitter.
And yeah.
And in the comment sections of blogs saying, well, clearly they're not adjusting their chakra. Like, just shut up.
That's funny.
Just shut up.
I haven't seen
Does
all that.
Does it
That's
suck?
Hilarious.
Is it frustrating as all hell? Of course. But if you think you have the answer, you're redonkulous.
Yeah, Lori Nichol is amazing. They're talking about how great Lori Nichol is. She is amazing. In person, she's cooler than she is as a writer, and she's a great writer. And, like, yeah, she's awesome. We are lucky to have the writers we have. You don't
covering
even realize. You
Absolutely.
Don't even realize how good you have it there until you're in another city, and then you don't have it.
Oh, boy.
All right, so offense.
Okay, can I just say it? Okay, I got to do this. I'm sorry.
What?
I have to do this. My daughter just tweeted me. You're doing great. Just keep swimming. Don't think about Piers Morgan falling off a Segway. It'll make you laugh.
That's ridiculous.
I love you, Madeline.
That's ridiculous.
Madeline, A, I love you. B, it's bedtime.
Yeah, she's watching on her mobile, Daddy.
I know. She probably is. She's probably in bed on her freaking iPad watching us. Okay, Madeline, I love you.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry, Madeline.
Turn off the computer.
Sorry,
and go to bed. All right.
Great.
Now somebody's going to post that video. I wish I could just immediately get that video and play it right now.
Which one?
The one she talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Morgan.
Oh, God, no. Don't play it. We'll be down. We're already down a rabbit hole. Okay, so, all right. So, hamstring injuries. Okay, look at that. We're done with the first half of the show.
Yeah, I was wondering when you were going to figure that out. I knew it was going to happen at some point, so I just wanted to wait for it.
Well, because I know you're anxious to move on to the next segment.
I know, that's why I
wasn't
moving on.
But the next segment is our break.
I know,
I know. So you can't, because we owe these people 5 more minutes of informed Packer banter.
Yes, we do.
We owe it to them.
Yes, we do.
Or should we prank call Wildy? I think that's always an option.
We could, but I don't think we should.
Let's ask the panel here. What do they say online? Hey, guys, should we prank call Wildy?
It's going to take 15 seconds to get the answer.
That's true, because there's a delay. All right, I'll cut this out in the podcast, but I just, you know, it'd be kind of fun.
I mean, they're all going to say yes.
Oh, wait, he's on Twitter.
They're all going to say
okay,
yes.
Everybody tweet Wildy. Everybody tweet Wildy.
Oh, no.
Tweet
but
Wildy.
But I didn't check the Skype, though.
No, don't worry about the Skype. We're not going to call him. We won't call Wildy, but tell everyone tweet Jason Wildy. Hashtag,
they're all saying do it, of course, on the chat.
No, of course. Okay, so everybody, I want everyone with a Twitter account to tweet at Jason Wildy and hashtag not in the mood for drama.
Uh-oh, that deserves a clip.
Not in the mood for drama.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama.
We're rocking and rolling. Okay. Everybody,
I appreciate that.
Tweet Wildy. We're going to take a break.
That's funny.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want everyone to have tweeted at Jason Wildy, not in the mood for drama. And when we come back, we'll talk offense, defense, and head into the bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back
live.
Packer transplants
Packer
in the
transplants.
House.
Got some Wildy action going on.
Now I feel really bad because like he's dealing with all these people giving him crap about the Aaron Rodgers show. It's like, hello, first A, that you get to hear from the freaking quarterback on the bye week is like gift enough, and you people got to give Wildy crap? Shut the hell up. And two, that was awesome. Thank you, everyone. I was watching.
Yes, thank you. Everyone, Thomas. Thank
tweeting,
you.
Everyone tweeting, tweeting Wildy. Thank you very much. That was a good time. So let's get back.
Yeah, Joel, just back to Joel. I just want to say I'm going to have music and a countdown next week.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't have went to England, I would have had a little bit more special
sauce.
You know,
and you know what that music
is. Hey, we're building the show.
I hear
we're
you,
building
man.
It. We're layering.
You. And you know what
layering.
That music better be.
Trust. Here's a guy. Here I got right here.
Trust. And you know what that music better be.
What's that?
The old school break music that we used to have, the porn music. That was it.
Oh, wait. Now there's no audio. That's what happened. So that entire time there was no audio.
We are back live on the line. Packer transplants.
That's what happens. That's what happens when I'm at the helm.
Woo!
I'm on air and I have us muted out on the stream.
That's awesome.
That's brilliant.
That's awesome. I hope you all loved it.
So that entire time there was yeah, there we go. Hello. Sorry about that.
Oh, man. I love it.
Hey, that's totally on me. So that'll get out of the podcast. That's the great part about a podcast. All these people that listen to the podcast, they don't have to deal with any of that.
Well, you know, they should.
Thomas, I actually had I had the stream out muted for like the first 2 minutes of this show. Awesome. He's like, awesome.
He's
you're
like,
my boss.
What are you talking
why
about?
Why are you
dude?
My boss?
Why
am I not
why
in charge
are you an
of this
idiot?
Entire operation?
All right, so
heck is happening?
Green Bay Packers. Packers talk. The offense. This is how you roll, dude. This is how we do it.
Yep.
We're going to get back to that offense.
Here we go. About a little bit of that.
All right. Ooh, look at that. Offense in the lower third. Very well done. All right, so as we mentioned earlier in the show, the press man coverage presented a real obstacle for the Packers wide receivers. And I think this is where, more than anything, the loss of JerMichael Finley loomed large in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you saw Randall Cobb, I think he was thrown at 11 times.
Mm-hmm.
For very, you know, it didn't do a whole lot of damage. Jordy Nelson obviously had the big plays up the sideline. He's a master on the sideline. James Jones obviously had a horrible slant play where he didn't, you know, push on through. And the guys in general just weren't able to work open a whole lot. And it caused the Packers problems. And Finley would have had a field day against that defense. I think he matched up really well with the linebackers.
Oh, the what ifs.
I know, the Bengals. And I think, and Mike McCarthy kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, Jermichael was a big part of the game plan going in. Of course, you never want to lean on that as a coach or a play caller and say, well, I couldn't, you know, I had all these plans and then my guy got hurt. Well, it's your job to adjust, which we all know is Mike's strong suit. So, you know, Finley going out right away, that really threw things kind of for a loop because, like I said, you know, the man coverage, we've seen that before. You know, the Chiefs did the same thing that in 2011, the team went 15-1, they lost that one game because the Packers receivers had real trouble kind of working open. Now, a little caveat to that, just a little bit of history, like setting here that Jordy Nelson was called for two ridiculous offensive pass interference in that Chiefs game.
Yeah.
That kind of took him out mentally, it seemed. So I'm not discounting that Jordy could have probably done a better job in that game, but he did get two ridiculous penalties. But that's just about the past, and we don't want to talk about that. We're going to look at the future. So, like I said, with Finley in there, I think the press man is not that big a problem because I think it lets Rodgers know that, hey, I've got Finley to work over the middle or in that quick out. I can work with my
Yeah, but then there's it's steeply down on the tight end depth chart, though.
Yeah, well, that does when you're down to your third running back, and then you're using your fourth running back, who just happens to be your fifth wide receiver, for some plays there at the end. I mean, it's a miracle the game was that close.
But yeah.
So the press man coverage, definitely a problem. But Jonathan Franklin showed that a running game can work with this line.
Yeah,
and I know the offensive line has been much maligned, and you know I saw a lot of people giving EDS a lot of grief on Twitter during the game. And yes, he did have one play where he was absolutely blown up on a stunt, and the guy flushed Rodgers out, and it was a horrible play for EDS. But overall, he did not play a bad game, and he definitely didn't have a bad day when it came to running, you know, getting the Packers to run the football. The line as a whole played pretty well. I think the rookie, the left tackle, you know, he had some ups and downs, and definitely we'll talk about the 4th and inches play, and we'll talk about the final play where the ball got batted down. But overall, the line was effective in the zone scheme, and you saw Franklin with his ability to find the cutback, to find the crease. Even James Starks, when he was first in there, he was finding some room to maneuver. There was a running game.
Yeah, there was a running game.
It's never going to be Adrian Peterson.
No, but it was kind of like, it wasn't Dorsey Levin's Edgar Bennett, but it was just like that kind of feel where it's like, okay, we're going to put this guy in, this guy in, this guy in, we're going to run our offense, and you don't know what we're doing.
I mean, I'm pretty sure when Franklin went in, everybody watching this program and everyone listening to this podcast were pretty, you know, resigned to the fact that Franklin was going to go nowhere. And Rodgers was going to have to throw on every down.
Yeah.
And that did not happen. In fact, the exact opposite happened. He had great vision. He found great lanes. Some of his cutbacks were just like purely on instinct incredible. And he showed a burst and elusiveness at the second level that we have not seen in a long time. Whereas when Lacy gets to the second level, he's trucking guys. Franklin gets to the second level, and he's making moves. I mean, he left a safety in the dust on one carry. So, you know, this as a Packer fan, it's very exciting. It's one of the reasons why we said earlier in the show, I'm not worried about a 1-2 record because there were a lot of positives.
Oh yeah, there were a ton of positives. I actually, you know, it's funny. I didn't watch that game as dramatic as I normally do. Like I was kind of laid back. Like I was, you know, I had everything going on and I was invested, but it just felt like it just slipped away. Like it felt like it slipped away early.
It did because and we were then up 30
but we,
to
but we took
14.
It back and it just kind of felt. But I didn't like ride that whole wave with it because I was just kind of like, there's a lot of positive things, but this game is crazy. I mean, the three turnovers in a row. I mean, just the whole breadth of the game. It was a pretty intense game.
Yep, I totally agree.
I wouldn't have guessed watching training camp with the Bengals that they were going to beat us, though. I will say that.
No, I agree. Although it was interesting, I will say, the team that did run the Oklahoma drill in training camp did look to be the more physical team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Bengals really took it to the Packers in a lot of aspects. And speaking of
defense.
No. We still have a couple offense. Don't switch ahead there, Mr. Man with the finger on the trigger.
See, you'll get a module and you'll be able to push that forward.
That's where it's going. That's what needs to happen.
You'll just get your own editorial.
Two more points on the offensive side here. First, just this game pretty much tells me and should tell all of you that Aaron Rodgers, no matter what he does with the rest of his career, no matter if he wins three more Super Bowls and two league MVPs, cures cancer and starts a football academy on the moon designed to cure Parkinson's disease. If he does all of that, he will still be criticized for not being able to win close games. That is it. It is done, so it shall
be. Yeah, but it doesn't matter because a Super Bowl trumps everything.
Exactly.
Super Bowl is like, that's like royal flush. It's just like, I trump.
So
I trump over that.
Like, going into that final drive. And I tweeted this out. I said, Rodgers can shut up a lot of people here. Just a lot of people by driving them down for a touchdown. And of course he didn't. And of course it petered out in the worst freaking possible way with two batted balls at the end there.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I went back and I kind of DVR'd my life and rewound it. And I thought, going into that drive, how was I feeling? And it's like, I was pretty sure they were not going to pull it out. And that's a sad place to be, but that's where I was. And that's not just Rodgers. That's Rodgers. That's McCarthy. That's the receiver. That's everybody. The line, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think, well, how did I feel when Brett Favre was in there? And
you always had a chance.
You always had a chance, but I was always scared.
Oh, yeah.
I was never resigned the way I was Sunday, too.
Yeah.
God, it would be awesome, but it's not going to happen.
And why is that?
And then, like, but with Favre, it was always like, oh, my God, I'm so scared. It could totally, because there was a chance, because it could happen. So it was
I think it could have happened on Sunday, though. Could have happened on
Sunday.
And then
he throws a pick. Favre would throw a pick, and you're like, oh, man. Or he finds Corey Bradford streaking through cover four for a touchdown against the Vikings.
That was it.
And it was like,
yeah.
And then Sunday, I was just like, they're not going to do this.
But I did feel like they would come back and go ahead, though. I did. They have it in them. They're a talented team.
Yeah, well, they did just that against the Bengals and against the 49ers. But then they just can't close the deal. And Bob McGinn wrote about it. I mean, Bob McGinn, if you didn't read his Monday column about this, I mean, go read it. It was fantastic, and it nailed it. You know, they look great, and they win, and they're winning a lot of games. McCarthy has won a lot of games as a head coach. You know, but what more often than not, usually they lose those games.
Yeah.
And they did it again on Sunday. Obviously, like I said, this will hang around Rodgers' neck probably for his whole career. I don't think it will.
I think he'll blow it out. I think he's going to have another Super Bowl run.
Probably no. I don't doubt it.
And I just think
this will not include a whole lot of close games.
But like, how much different are the Packers right now? Like, yes, in schemes and offense, but how much different are they than the same team that won the Super Bowl in the sense of like they're young, you don't know anything about them.
Right.
How many injuries do we have that year? 16 injuries.
16 guys on IR.
I mean,
there's a lot of season to play out.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I said Monday morning. I tweeted
out. It's pretty crazy. We're going to be even like six games from now.
How teams play in September is never how they are playing in December.
It's like the preseason.
For good or for bad.
Yeah. 4-0, you ain't going to probably make the playoffs.
I mean, look at
that's the Vikings.
Everyone's talking about.
Usually.
Well, everyone's
usually
talking
about, it is the Vikings.
Everyone's talking about the Bears being 3-0. Okay? And I don't think this is going to happen to the Bears because I think they are a pretty good team. But the Cardinals were 4-0 last year. And look what happened to them.
Yeah.
I think more like the Miami Dolphins this year who are 3-0. I think they're closer to the Cardinals. But I digress. I think the Dolphins are a little bit better. But I think Dolphins are in for a rude awakening. But that said, I think how teams play in September, it's not the same as December.
No.
Enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It's the greatest reality show in the world.
Yep.
I mean, in the world. It's amazing. It's amazing. And the fact that we get to watch it, and these guys do it for us every Sunday, and it's tons of fun to watch, and it's just awesome.
It's true, and who knows how long that's going to be, so enjoy it while it's
there. Lap it up. Okay, now my final point about the offense, and I'm going to let it go. You, Corey, I said there were 2 points. We did one.
Oh, my goodness. That was 1 point? Oh,
Banky.
Man.
All right. This is the big one. So I hope you can go get a cup of coffee.
I'm listening.
If you're going to be trigger happy the whole time. the call, McCarthy's call on fourth and inches. Now, I was on the radio this morning talking about this, but, you know, I only get so much time on a national show to talk about the Packers.
Yeah.
But here, on our own show, I'm going to expound a little bit. All right?
All right.
You've got the Green Bay Packers offensive line, who has never, ever been able to convert third and one or fourth and inches, ever, when from, you know, either the I formation, single back, whatever, up the middle, up the A gap, ever. John Kuhn fullback dive, ever.
Yeah.
Since the earth cooled, the Packers have not been able to convert that. Like, under McCarthy,
under
it hasn't
McCarthy,
happened.
It has not happened. Under Sherman Jumbo.
No, no, of course not. Sherman totally.
Sherman Jumbo was the greatest fourth and one ever.
Okay.
Like, dude.
Absolutely. You knew they were going to get it.
You know.
You knew
it's just like Jumbo. They call Jumbo. I remember being at a Carolina game, and we were like up in the rafters, and people and like they would be like, 7-8-3 was an ineligible receiver. And then people would moan. They'd be like, oh. And I'd be like, Jumbo. And then you get the Jumbo in there, and you get the like third and ones, fourth and ones all day on Jumbo, man.
That
Jumbo was like
awesome.
That was the money. That was my that's my favorite formation the Packers have ever had. Except for Packer sweep, which is in a jumbo formation,
well,
I believe.
It can be.
Can be, yeah. You can put a sweep in there.
A sweep is a play.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm just
saying.
All right,
so fourth and inches. In the universe of McCarthy, since the McCarthy earth cooled, the Packers have not been able to convert fourth and short when they run it up the middle. Ever. Let alone against Geno Atkins and company of the Cincinnati Bengals, who are monstrous, who will kick your ass and your friend's ass and then ask for a sandwich. I don't know what that means, but
okay.
You get the idea. Not only that, it's like as if that's not bad enough. As if, okay, all right, fine, Aaron. Yes, the offensive line has no shot. However, we have amazing short yardage back in the backfield. Oh, wait. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We have a rookie in his first NFL game action who is, like, about my weight. granted, a hell of a lot more toned and
more
handsome
in shape,
and,
yeah,
in shape,
better looking,
able to leap tall buildings in a single bound comparatively,
yep,
and able to do lots of stuff in the open field. But converting short yardage, not his forte.
No.
Not what you signed him up to do.
No, you need Jumbo.
So wait, Aaron, the design was for him to go over the pile. He was supposed to leap. Well, that's all well and good if the line that he is leaping over, if the mass of humanity that he has been instructed to, you know, fly over is at the line of scrimmage. But with this offensive line, you know, you have to know that it will be pushed back. All right, I'm done. What you got, Corey?
Whoa.
Oh, no.
Sorry about the audio. I messed something up.
Way to go, Corey.
I don't know what happened. I, like, went to the quad box, and then everything, like, went downhill.
It wouldn't be a transplant show.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
I'm sorry.
Well, Corey, you can push that button.
I'm like, why was it so crunchy on that?
I don't know. Who cares?
Are you ready for this?
Do it.
Okay.
I'm going to have fun trying to.
Here we are. Sorry about that, everybody.
Fix that in post.
I saw it. I actually fixed that, and then I saw it, and
so you're
I'm
telling
really
me
sorry.
I'm going to have to cut my rant out of the podcast.
No. It was right at the end. Right. It was when I went to the quad box, I believe, is the.
I don't know what you're doing. All right. The defense.
Defense.
Hey, look. There's a defense graphic up on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, I can do that.
The defense got after the ball. Got after the ball a little bit. They got. They forced some turnovers. They kept the Packers in this game. I mean, even after – people want to talk about how the defense was totally different after Clay Matthews went out. And yeah, fine. But they still got after the ball. They still created turnovers. I mean, this was a game they should have won. They could have won and they should have won. Mostly because of the defense. And you can say everything you want about the 14-0 hole. Obviously, Jeremy Ross played a big part in the second touchdown there. The first drive was pretty pathetic. I will give you that. It was like Dom Capers was late from the bus or something. But after that first drive, they really kind of clamped up. And I think McCarthy, you know, obviously he defers to Capers, and Capers would never admit this publicly, but I think privately he would admit that he got caught, maybe not napping, but he got caught on the touchdown to A.J. Green where he had Sam Shields in single coverage. And, you know, who knows what the call was, who knows if the safety was supposed to be over on the other side, but you can see from the angle that they show on the replay from behind Andy Dalton, there's a lone high safety, and the Bengals have been running the ball a little bit, and Dom brought someone down, or somebody came down. Maybe Dom brought him down, or maybe he wasn't supposed to be, but he was down in the box, and the lone high safety was on the far hash. And when you see that, I mean, people like to give Andy Dalton a lot of grief, but Andy Dalton can see that, and Andy Dalton knows what he has to do. You know, forget everything else that may be on the line here. Forget everything else that may be called. Just, you know, look at A.J. Green and go, you seeing what I see? I know you are. You're seeing a single high safety on the opposite end of the opposite side of the field. You've got one-on-one, Sam Shields, who had a great game. Go get it. And he did. And, you know, and people, I saw people giving Shields a hard time on Twitter. I'm like, what do you want from this guy?
Yeah.
He's played a fantastic game.
Yeah, he
had
a great game.
He's going up against the best receiver in the NFL. And, yes, I'm including Calvin Johnson in that statement. A.J. Green, best receiver in the NFL. And, for the most part, Sam Shields hung with him. Green had some catches in the second half, no doubt. You know, corners got to bounce back, and Sam Shields did. He played a great game. You saw several shots of A.J. Green looking frustrated as hell in the first half. And that's because of Sam Shields, and that's because of what the defense was doing. So, you know, Capers, like I said, we give him untold amounts of grief, and I know there are all sorts of fire Dom Capers kind of, you know, calls after every game. That
always.
They lose. But the defense did enough for them to win this game. So, you know, lay off Capers for a week, please.
That's all I'm asking.
Just one. When we get back from the bye week, you can go after him again. That's all I'm saying. Let's talk about a player that's not getting a whole lot of pub, made a very noticeable play in the blocked extra point, but made a whole lot more kind of unnoticeable plays if you're just watching the ball or just watching on game day. Dayton Jones had a really good game.
Yeah, he did.
A really good game.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't do anything that's going to show up on a ton of
He was number one or like in plays where there were big plays. He was like around the ball. He was doing a lot of stuff.
He was getting upfield. He was creating. He was getting whatever his gap was. He was getting upfield. He looked good. And I think people forget with defensive linemen, you know, it doesn't happen right away. I mean, Starr down in Carolina is kind of an exception because he's playing lights out, and you know, he's a freak of nature. But and I think Dayton, it's going to take a little while, but you see it coming. It's coming. Give him a little bit. He is going to only get better and better. I think if you look at what he was doing in week one comparative to now, you see that jump, and then you kind of like play that forward and think about where he's going to be in late November. I'm really excited for this.
Yeah.
Really excited for him. On the back end, another rookie, this guy undrafted, Chris Banjo, had a solid game.
Yeah, you knew it was going to go one way or the other.
It was going to be a dumpster fire. Because I remember during the game, I was like, you know, I don't even know who's the other safety right now. Like, I knew Jennings was back there, and I was like, is it McMillan? But I kept seeing McMillan around the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are they dropping him down so far? And then I realized it wasn't that. He was the dime back, and Banjo was the opposite safety. And he had a fine game. Played well. So that's got to give you a little encouragement.
Yeah. Especially and we needed help there, too. Oh. That's a big, big key area.
Saying he was Ronnie Lott or anything, but he had a good first full game.
I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, we talked about Clay Matthews and the hamstring a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
You look on the opposite end. Nick Perry and Mike Neal, they're just better than just guys. I mean, there's the level of he's just a guy.
Yeah.
They are slightly above that. And I know Bob McGinn did a whole breakdown of Mike Neal. And I'm sorry, Bob. I don't buy it. I think he's looked good. And I agree with Bob that he has played surprisingly well, considering that when the idea was floated, when they were first talking about it, I thought it was insane. And I thought he was going to look terrible. But he hasn't looked terrible. But he hasn't looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't looked, I wouldn't even say he would look good. I say he's looked serviceable. And he and Nick Perry are like just above just a guy. And that's concerning. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Where's the pass rush going to come from?
Clay Matthews.
I mean, they've been blitzing the hell out of
I mean, did you see that dive, though?
That was awesome.
That was ridiculous.
Awesome.
That was like one of the best plays I think I've ever seen in my life.
You know what that reminded me of?
Like, that was just
that reminded
like,
me of the play against the Ravens.
That's a movie play.
Yeah.
You put that in a movie.
That was, I know, right? And then when you see it in the movie, you're like, they don't
they
do that.
They can't do that. You're in Madden.
Clay Matthews would never do
you're
that.
You're in Madden, and people are like, oh, Clay Matthews can't do that.
But it reminded me of the play against the Ravens that Charles Woodson had. Where he looked like Superman flying over the line and he stopped Willis McGahee.
Yeah.
Lambeau.
Yeah.
And I think someone on our site eventually made a, because I asked for it, they made a Star Wars, or I'm sorry, a Superman music kind of underscore of Charles Woodson in slow motion stopping Willis McGahee.
Yeah.
But that's what it looked like. But yeah, the pass rush, Capers has blitzed the hell. For Dom Capers, RG3 and Andy Dalton, he has blitzed the hell out of these guys. Which I find interesting because it's not Dom.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's the same old story. He knows he's got a blitz to get pressure. I mean, you've seen Tremont.
Yeah.
Tremont had some really nice slot
passes.
And some really horrible coverage.
Yeah.
But
I didn't want
I know you didn't want to say it, but I'll
I didn't
say
really
it.
Want to bring Tremont up because as good of a game as he had some horrible plays.
He had some horrible plays. His blitzing was great.
Yeah, his blitzing was good.
And Devon House got home again, can wrap up and finish, but he got home again. Like, I'm loving all the blitz from the slot, all the stuff they're getting from the secondary. That's great. And I love it. But man, they're coming after people. And the screens are coming. The slants are coming. The people are going to start burning that stuff bad if Capers keeps it up. Now, Capers may have just seen the tape and said, oh, RG3's immobile.
Yeah.
And, Andy Dalton is a sitting duck, so go after him.
Yeah,
those happen
to be the ones we're playing right now.
Now, maybe if, down the line, he'll switch it up a little bit depending on the quarterback. I mean, you saw how scared he was to blitz Colin Kaepernick. They're just guys.
There's better just above just guys.
All right, it's that time. It's that time.
Oh, it is?
It is, sir.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
This week, in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right, it's this week in the Packer Blogosphere! The return of that venerable series.
At least I didn't blow everybody's ears out with the audio. So,
well,
yeah.
Well done.
From muting the beginning to having the clipping, it was, yeah. It's been a classic transplant show tonight. The blogosphere.
Here it is. it's that time.
Welcome to it.
It's my question.
Yeah.
It's going to become a weekly question until it's not a weekly question anymore.
Okay.
How far are we from Cheesehead TV 3.0?
We're pretty close.
That's what you said last time.
We're very close. You guys, you don't believe me.
Don't
I know.
You say you guys.
It's okay.
You guys, I'm asking the question.
I know you don't believe me, Nagler.
I don't.
That's right. Okay.
I don't
lie.
Oh, can I just
sometimes
start?
Things
wait,
take a little longer
say,
than you
I,
expect them to.
Can I, wait, where, am I, where am I?
You're right
here?
There, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Let me address the camera. I want to address a few people in the comments section of our here. Cheesehead TV. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
something.
You love those people.
Let me tell you something. Back in the day, people at Cheesehead TV could disagree without being assholes about it.
That's true.
There's a whole lot of assholishness down in the comment sections.
Is that why you're so keen to get the new site?
Yes. Because there's like I went through and had to delete a bunch of comments, which I've never do. You know why I never do
why
it?
Why are people doing that? That's
you know
weird.
Why I had to do it? Because I've never had to do it. Because we've had cool people hanging out in the comments.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I remember when I remember like being in the car when I first got the mobile theme and like watching like a 99 comment and it was like a rant between rant. It was really good. It was
and but people
it was like it was entertaining. It was entertainment in and of itself.
And it's fine. I totally get calling out people and I totally get some back and forth acidic banter.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out. But, I've seen just some really, really pretty awful stuff down in the comment section, which we've been around now 2006?
Seven, I think.
Seven, 2007. And never had to deal with that stuff. ever. And now I'm having to deal with it, and it's pissing me off. So you've been
so
warned.
You're gonna get the new site, and it doesn't matter because
the new site's
gonna
come, and you're not gonna be able to do any of that anyway. But in the meantime, I will hunt you down, and I will make you listen to me talk about Favre Watch. So that's all I'm saying.
That's what's gonna happen.
All I'm saying. And you don't want that. You don't want that. You all threatened to leave when we talked about Favre Watch before. And I think we've come full circle talking about Favre Watch. It's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 9:59, which means we're at the end of our show.
Well, Corey, don't we have to do the Lions prediction?
Corey, I can't believe it. No, we're not going to do a Lions prediction.
Okay. Take that off.
But we will do a prediction for the rest of the year.
Okay.
They're 1-2 right now. Corey Banky.
Yeah.
I know you probably picked them to go 16-0, so they're not going to go 16-0.
Okay.
But what is your prediction, their record, the Packers' regular season record at the end of the year? What is their record going to be?
14-2. What?
Nothing.
I mean, let's do it.
All right, man.
Let's make this happen, right?
I stand by my 10-6 prediction from the beginning of the year. And when you are going to go 10-6, you have to lose 6 games. And they've lost 2 of them.
Okay.
So that's what I think about that.
All right.
You got anything else for me?
Nope. I got a video to show at the end of this clip.
All right, well, we're done, so show it, dude.
Thanks, everybody, for showing up.
Yeah, well,
appreciate
you know.
It.
Well,
sorry about
do,
the bad audio.
The bad audio, the muting, the craziness. Would be a transplant show without it. But thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for showing up, for putting up with us, for spreading the word. I mean, it's great. The last couple shows have been, like, crazy in the people come back and watch the show.
Yeah.
Like, you people have no life, the people who rewatch it later. And then the podcasts have been, like, downloading like crazy. So, like, I know we're not the most, like, you know, we're not here every week, although we're trying to be. You know, real life gets in the way. We do this for fun because we love the Packers and we love you guys. But thanks so much for sticking with us, for spreading the word about Cheesehead TV. And make sure you check out Brian Caravu's Crown Royal post.
Oh, yeah.
By his
fantasy
football team. You can win some really free, cool
Crown
Royal swag.
It's really cool.
Brian pick out his fantasy team because he desperately needs some help. but yeah, thanks for hanging with us. We'll be back next week. We will be back next week because Corey is not in London next week.
That's right.
So be here. CheeseheadTV.com for Corey. I'm Aaron. Go Pack Go.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.